show called American Honor. And I don't know if you caught the intro music there, Inagata De Vita by the Iron Butterfly. It's just music to my ears. Thank you. Anyway, again, this is American Honor, brought to you by RBN. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. And please be kind of like a like mindset. We're here to talk about corruption in local and state and in federal government. We're here to talk about the Bundy situation that occurred in 2014 up in Bunkerville, Nevada, and the situation at the Mare Wildlife Reserve in Burns, Oregon, and the unlawful incarceration of Dwight and Stephen Hammond and the Bundys, and all the other American patriots that are unlawfully incarcerated and placed in isolation, and to talk about the judicial misconduct of Judge Brown up in Portland, whereby they're not going to allow the defense to present all their witnesses. Boy, isn't that different? Besides not being able to talk about the assassination and murder of Robert LaFoy Finicum. So, as usual, my reading about politics and everything that's going on in our country, and especially the war on cops, and especially about the feelings that Black Lives Matters has toward the cops, but they're specifying they only want to shoot and kill white cops. And I've got kind of a little problem with this, that they have not been considered a hate group. Why is the Black Lives Matter people not considered a hate group? Well, the answer is pretty simple. It's because of politics. They condemn everybody else for standing up for their rights, standing up for their constitutional rights, and they don't go after the people that blatantly threaten the lives of cops. Now, what is that all about? So, anyway, to remind everybody what a policeman's sworn oath is, and that most, if not all, police officers take some form of oath of honor, like the one I'm going to read you. This one was the one I took back in 1974, and it was enacted in 1956 in the state of California. Law Enforcement Code of Ethics. As a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men to liberty, equality, and justice. I will keep my private life unsullied as an example to all, maintain courageous calm in the face of danger, scorn, or ridicule, develop self-restraint and be constantly mindful of the welfare of others, honest in thought and deed. In both my personal and official life, I will be exemplary in obeying the laws of the land and the regulations of my department. Whatever I see or hear of a confidential nature or that is confided to me in my official capacity will be kept ever secret unless revelation is necessary in the performance of my duty. I will never act officiously or permit personal feelings, prejudices, animosities, or friendships to influence my decisions. With no compromise for crime and with relentless prosecution of criminals, I will enforce the law courteously and appropriately without fear or favor, malice, or ill will, never employing unnecessary force or violence, and never accepting gratuities. I recognize the badge of my office as a symbol of public faith, and I accept it as a public trust to be held so long as I am true to the ethics of the police service. I will constantly strive to achieve three objectives. These objectives and ideals, dedicating myself before God to my chosen profession, law enforcement. Well, it's pretty straightforward. And I don't know of any other group that takes a sworn oath like that. And it really isn't all that hard to follow exactly what that I just read you, the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics. What's hard is trying to divert and not follow the unlawful orders of upper police management. There is no truer words in that police corruption cannot exist unless it is tolerated and condoned by upper police management. Now, that is a statement from Frank Serpico back in the 1970s when he was addressing the Knapp Commission and addressing the corruption in the NYPD. That is so true. It just cannot happen. Now, sure, we have dumb and dumber that make it through the academy and make it through probation and make it through being part of a patrol squad under a supervisor. And sure, they sneak through and they commit crimes. The percentage is actually very small. And understand that these individuals that do not conform to this sworn oath are singled out by other police officers, and eventually that particular individual is eventually removed and fired. And I know this for a fact. Fact is, the first year I had my locker down in the main substation or the main station of the LVMPD. And right next to me was another older senior police officer, and I can't even remember his last name. I mean, it so disgusted me what he did. Next thing I know, the locker right next to me is cleaned out, and that officer is being indicted for working with a prostitute to rip off Johns and tourists that come to the city. The way it worked is the prostitute would pick up the victim and take him back to his room. She would peruse around, find out where the valuables are, and then after they did the nasty, they would go back down to the bar, and then she would make a phone call to this officer that had his locker right next to me, and then he would go on over, break into the room, and find all the valuables, money, jewelry, whatever. Well, as usual, and fortunately for the police and society, this kind of scam, who knows how long it went on, but she got scared. The prostitute got scared, notified the LVMPD Internal Affairs. They set up a sting, and here comes Officer Thief and goes into the room, comes out with jewelry and money and everything else hanging out of his pockets, and he's confronted by IAB detectives. And guess what? He faints. That's pretty typical. But anyway, yeah, that's the kind of stuff. It happens. But when you think that, all I know is since I was at the LVMPD for 36 years, is out of, say, 100 or 165,000 calls for service, and this only amounts for the when you get a radio call, not for the self-initiated stuff. Having maybe a handful or 10 or 12 of these incidents, however unexcusable, at least in my world, but it happens, but it's a small percentage, and you got to look at it that way. I mean, nothing's perfect. But I was naive enough to believe that it was perfect. Well, I see on my little screen here that D in Nevada is on the line holding for me. D, are you there?
Gordon, I am.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. I'm here to talk to you because you invited me back last week to update you on.
I did, and I want to talk to you about this domestic violence. This is Domestic Violence Month, isn't it?
It's Awareness Month of Domestic Violence, correct.
Okay. Well, great. What do you got to report?
Well, as we discussed last time, and just to update your listenership, the Attorney General has weighed in on domestic violence in a court document, which has not happened for us survivors of domestic violence all the years of Catherine Cortez Masto. There were several pressing issues in the state of Nevada. She chose not to weigh in on all the guardianship corruption, the domestic violence corruption, and Adam Laxalt, the new Attorney General, filed a court document, which is a memorandum of understanding, that he is going to defend the justices who are corrupting the system, the judges and justices in Nevada who are corrupting the system where domestic violence is concerned. And he's going to defend them by asking for immunity.
You got to be kidding. Wait a minute. I think I might have misunderstood some. He is defending the judges, the corrupt judges. Is that correct?
District court judges and justice court justices. Correct.
Isn't that just special? So he just came out with this memorandum, right?
That was based upon a 2013 passage of SB 27 by the Nevada legislature. The Nevada legislature knew about all this judicial corruption, and they wanted to protect themselves. They knew about it. They didn't know what to do. So they passed this SB 27 that said the Attorney General now can defend not only state employees, which he or she always had the authority to do so, but added local boards now, local judges, local like district court judges.
And magistrates and everything else down there in family court?
Hearing masters, domestic violence commissioners. He can now defend them, and he came out with his defense in a court document to be immunity. You know about immunity, Gordon, right?
Yes, I do. Oh, well, at least vaguely. I've never been afforded any immunity, so I wouldn't know the insides of what immunity means. But why don't you enlighten us?
Well, and the reason you haven't been afforded it is you probably didn't need to. Immunity
That's right.
is, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Immunity is afforded when somebody has done something wrong. They know they've done something wrong. They did not act correctly to remedy the problem, and people were damaged. And in this case, there are thousands of court case files where evidence went missing, and the judiciary knew about it. It's when the courts went from a paper to a paperless system. All of these.
Oh, yeah, the good old electronics, you bet.
Yes. And they even, the legislature even passed a statute that this is a gross misdemeanor when they lose these documents.
So let me stop you here a second. Now, I've become aware that several years' worth of, child abuse cases and domestic violence cases down in family court. Oh, which was basically that part of the record system was overseen by Judge Stephen Jones before he was put in federal prison. All of a sudden, several years of these photographs and documentation regarding domestic violence investigations, regarding child abuse investigations and child neglect investigations, all these documents and these photos – from forensic interviews have all of a sudden come missing. Have you heard about this?
I know firsthand, yes. And it's not just Stephen Jones. Stephen Jones did handle domestic violence and child abuse cases. There are other judges, and when you say down in the family division, you're talking about Clark County, which everyone knows to be Las Vegas, in their family division. But it's also happening in Washoe County, which is Reno, and their family division. I am a survivor of domestic violence, networking with other survivors of domestic violence. We launched an investigation statewide. It was so overwhelming as to the evidence that was missing in domestic violence slash child abuse cases. Of course, we equate the same. When a child is abused in a home, in a domestic situation, that is child abuse, domestic violence. Mm-hmm. The launched investigation went statewide, and we have now obtained an affidavit that was filed by a district court judge in Northern Nevada.
Do we have any names that we can use or throw out there?
I have no problem naming names. I just want to get the truth out. Political correctness.
Absolutely. Well, I think our listeners and myself, I would like to know who's doing this kind of stuff. So try and attach a name to whatever movement the government is trying to impose upon everybody.
Well, First Judicial District Court Judge Todd Russell filed an affidavit in court that was authored, signed, and dated by Justice Court Justice Thomas Armstrong. And Thomas Armstrong is in the Carson City Justice Court. And Justice Court Armstrong says unequivocally, I mean, he has no problem making this statement, that all child abuse photographs are being destroyed every 2 years. Now, if you are a child...
Where does he come up with that? Where did he come up with that? Is it somewhere in the statutes or something that says you can do this?
No. It's what is called a minimum records retention schedule. It's not
minimum records retention schedule.
It's not a statute. It's not a rule. It's not an ordinance. It's simply a schedule like you might make with your auto mechanic to have an oil change. There's nothing binding about it. It is simply a schedule that was created in 1988 by the Nevada Supreme Court. It's signed by all of the Supreme Court justices at that time to destroy these protection order case files. These are the case files that contain photographs of battered children. And that was in 1988. Not coincidental, 20 years later, which is the statute of limitations for children to file lawsuits. 20 years later, all these children started filing lawsuits because their batterer's evidence was destroyed.
Right.
And it can't be. It's protected. Child abuse evidence, domestic violence evidence is protected by statute.
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, I understand that. I understand it perfectly because I used to go into the district attorney's office and argue with them when they wanted to destroy murder cases and robbery cases that led to murder, and they wanted to destroy the evidence after 7 years. And I went in there and argued, and figure you got a death penalty case that has appeals that last for 10 years. So... anyway, I hear the music. We got to pause for the cause. Dee, please stay on the line, and I'll be back with you in a few.
Sunday morning ever, and Sundays pass on by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know that when I won't. Working for a living, work. Working for a living.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Called American Honor, brought to you by RBN, and I hope everybody is enjoying some of this lead-in music. My call-in back number is 1-800-313-9443, and I'm talking to D from Nevada, and we're talking about domestic violence. D, you got to understand that I have probably gone to around, oh, I would say easily 300 domestic violence-type calls in my 39-year law enforcement career. So I know firsthand that this is a real problem, okay? And anything that can be done to at least bring some kind of reasonableness or justice to this type of crime, I'm all for it. But what you're telling me now is that the barriers are starting to be put up, and they're starting to be put up by our elected officials that want to give immunity to these corrupt judges. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm saying, and I haven't even gotten on the subject of how law enforcement's handling it. And I don't know if your time allows, but what happened in the state of Nevada around 2000 is a law changed that the officer who reported to a domestic violence call, and I don't know if you'd remember this or not, Gordon, the officer then became the jury, judge, and executioner because the law was changed, and it read, now not who was the person who battered the other person, but who provoked the domestic violence.
That's correct. And you're right. It's called who's the aggressor?
And
that discretion is placed right on that officer, and if he doesn't do something positive about that situation, then he himself is going to be in trouble.
It made it difficult because now how do you train these officers? If someone at the scene, at the crime scene, said, they came at me with an instrument, a lethal weapon or something,
right,
and that isn't what happened, maybe they came, they picked up a weapon to defend themselves, the officer then had to be...
He has to make a decision based on the preponderance of evidence, okay? Yeah, it is like court. It is exactly like a judge, jury, and executioner. It's a tough one. When they passed that law, I absolutely was against it. To force an officer to make some kind of decision, right or wrong, but in his best judgment, as it were, and arrest somebody who is the aggressor if he can prove it. If he cannot prove it, if he cannot articulate that on the short little domestic violence form that they have to fill out now, if he cannot articulate who the aggressor is, then either both parties go to jail, or before they kill themselves or kill each other, or the officer walks away with a warning.
Neither party goes to jail, correct?
Right.
And so now you have someone who is a perpetrator of the crime who is not in custody, and the victims of the crime, including children, are now going to the court system to get protection orders.
Right.
And that is when a police investigation ensued in 2011 because the person in the courthouse, the family courthouse in Clark County, I'm just speaking about Clark County now, Washoe County actually has a different system.
They've got a different system, all right. Go ahead.
Okay, we can get into that too.
Yeah.
What are you doing next Saturday?
Hey, make sure that you come back on my show. We only got a couple of minutes left before the break. Tell me, what is the angle that you think should happen? What do you think should happen right now? If you had a magic wand, how would you fix it?
Right now, judicial selection for the Nevada Supreme Court. Nancy Saeta is leaving. And selection is Monday and Tuesday tomorrow. Excuse me, Monday, 2 days from today, and Tuesday. And people who don't want to see 8th Judicial District Court judges in there who have proven that they've lost child abuse evidence, go to the Las Vegas courtroom, Nevada Supreme Court courtroom, or go to the Carson City Supreme Court courtroom and weigh in your decisions to keep these 8th Judicial District Court judges out of the Supreme Court.
To the Republic. Sounds good, Dee. Got to go.
Visit our
Talk to you
Thanks,
next week.
Gordon.
Going to
Thank you.
Broadcasting.org. Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite. a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
If everybody had a nose across the USA, then everybody'd be served like California.
This is Gordon Martinez with American Honor, brought to you by RBN. Call in number 800-313-9443. Join in. The theme of the show is corruption in local and state and federal government, the Bundy situation, the Hammond situation up in Harney County, Oregon, and just in general police corruption. And I'm a big fan of anybody that wants to make the system better. And my quick fix is just to follow the law enforcement code of ethics, which most, if not all, police officers have to swear to before they don their uniform and the gun and the badge. Well, I've been in the business for 39-plus years. I've seen just about everything that could possibly be done in the police corruption business. And, yes, I'll admit it. There were officers, very few, that were found out to be pedophiles, okay? And in the police world, all pedophiles are homosexuals. Now, let me say that again. All pedophiles are homosexuals, but not all homosexuals are pedophiles. Okay, now that's in the police world. That's how it's looked at. And it proves out statistically. And I saw another statistic the other day that it kind of surprised me in a way, because I never really it was kind of like it just kind of like popped up, and then I checked it out, and it's true. over 50% of all murders are committed by blacks. Over 50% of all murders in the United States are committed by blacks. I brought this up in this discussion group that I have, and the first question that came out, allegedly in defense of this particular statistic, was, well, how many of them use guns? My response was, well, how many do you want to use guns? Guns don't have anything to do with murder. They don't have anything to killing people. It's just instrumentality. That's all that is. So kind of an interesting little statistic. So, and I hate keep harping on this, but I'm going to keep harping on this. Black Lives Matter is making an out-and-out threat to kill police officers. Now, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But over and over again, and nobody is putting them or charging them with a crime, and that's threats to life. That is a crime, folks. You don't go around threatening individuals or groups to kill them. It's against the law. But I somehow don't see any of these Black Lives Matter people being arrested or charged for threats to life. So what we do see is we see corrupt politicians flexing their muscles and calling anybody that disagrees with them domestic terrorists. That's what I do see. Now, I tell you, it makes me almost sick to turn on the TV or to browse through the internet or secondary news media or read other newspapers or anything, because it is now just jam-packed with propaganda. And if these news agencies, the mainstream news agencies, which there basically are six, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, all these that have all these subsidiaries, they have to go along with the program or else they're going to get dinged. Okay? And if they don't, they can pretty much write it off. I mean, they're going through news anchors like crap through a goose. News anchors are slighted one way and slighted the other, and putting in their fix in reporting the news, which was the original intent was to report the facts, and then all of a sudden now they're fired because they regressed a little bit and started maybe telling the truth a little bit, and then they're no longer there and they got somebody new, some new puppet. It's just sickening. And I'm old school, man. I'm 66 years old. And if it was in the newspapers, well, it had a lot of credibility. If anything was reported like that, it had a lot of credibility. But now, oh, my God. I mean, you have to take all information. All information has some truth. It's laced with truth. It gives its propaganda power. You have to do as a individual, you have to look at this information and dissect it and look for what the truth is and then compile that truth with another source. And you have to do your resources. You have to do your research and come up with these truths. And then you put them all together, and look at it and say, wow, this looks like it's the proper conclusion. I mean, it's simple police work. You do an investigation. You look at every imaginable lead and follow up on it and check it out, see if it's credible. And you know what you find half the time? You find out that the people that you go talk to really don't have any information about the actual crime because they didn't see it. They weren't there. But they want you to believe that they were. You got people that want to report information that this or that person committed this crime, and you go check it out, and you find out that it's totally false. But you have to check it out. You check out thousands and thousands of leads to find out what the truth is. And that's the whole goal of any police investigation, is to find out what the truth is. Oh, it's probably about the easiest thing in the world to go ahead and slant a criminal investigation and charge some poor guy with a crime. But I can safely say I've never done that. I work hard to clear somebody, harder than I do to make them appear guilty. And I only deal in facts. And I can't tell you how many times I've had these roundtable discussions, not only with my colleagues in the police department, but in the district attorney's office. I would bring and walk in and pick out my favorite prosecutor and throw the facts at him, throw what I know, and get his take on it. And sometimes they would call in another prosecutor. And then we'd all sit around and talk about it. And I hate to say it, but about 50% of the time, I'm leaving the office with my tail between my legs, and I've got to do more work and more research and more investigation, because it doesn't pass muster to reveal the truth. Well, looks like we got a couple of callers on the line. I'll take them in order. We got Richard in Alabama. Richard, are you there?
Yeah. I'd like to say something about the interracial foster family program. It's growing rapidly.
Okay. What do you want to say?
Well, I've seen some of the young white girls that have been in the program.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them in public places, and they are turning into miniature Beyoncés. I've seen them dressed up in red plastic pants and
purple thrusting, hair.
And thrusting at the customers in the Walmart like as if they were Beyoncé.
Yeah.
And they're being taught to be a little white hoes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this interracial family that where the financial interest, the bias from the Health and Human Services,
mm-hmm.
is $250,000 in favor of white girls. And, of course, the black boys are so abundant and being thrown away left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these black boys are kicked out of families because of rape.
Right.
And they're stuck into these interracial foster families. And all of these disgusting behaviors are protected by the courts.
Yes, they are.
These white girls have no...
We've got corrupted judges.
Well, it's lawful. And there's a financial bias in favor of interracialism.
I understand this. Richard, this has been going on for a couple of decades.
Well, but in Alabama, because the whites are a minority in the school, it's mm-hmm. very advanced.
Right.
The bias, it's called the, what's that word? More adoptable, the adoptability factor.
Mm.
They have a standard, something called highly adoptable. And that's a term used by the Federal Health and Human Services.
Right.
Used to fund the local foster family program. They get their money from Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they kidnap a white girl and stuff her into one of these foster families, they get mm-hmm. $250,000 for the program. I didn't
Jeez.
Say for the parents. I said for the program.
Mm-hmm.
And the
right.
parents
I understand.
And the parents get $1,500 a month per child. And if they got six children, they're over $100,000.
Right. Right.
And whatever they want to do to those white girls is protected by the courts. They're untouchable.
Would it surprise you, Richard, if I told you the same thing is happening over here in Clark County?
Yes, because I didn't know there were all that many Africans over there.
Oh, the program percentage-wise is higher than the whites. It's actually higher than the whites that are in that program, and it's the same program that's going on over here. So, you got a minute? Tell me how to fix it. Tell me if you had the magic wand, how would you fix it?
Well, if I told you, I'm afraid they'd put us off the air.
I think I know what you're talking about. Anyway, Richard, thanks for calling in. I understand that Ken in Fort Worth is on the line. Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I got a question. The police officers that were killed in Dallas, were they wearing body armor?
Understand what body armor and bulletproof vests are. They are merely...
Well, I mean, were they wearing it? That's all I want to know. Or did it make any difference?
Oh, they probably were, and who knows, you know?
Right?
I got to explain to you that is a misnomer. All that is bullet-resistant stuff. It's nothing is bulletproof or bullet armor, okay? And the weapon, if I'm not mistaken, was a rifle, correct?
Right.
Okay, so bullet-resistant vests, regardless if you're wearing it or not, are useless against a rifle cartridge. So,
good point.
And I don't know. I would guess that they were. I mean, I wore mine, and why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Especially on a hotly debated type of situation. Why not?
Right.
So, did I answer your question? I'm sorry. I don't have.
Well, I don't know if they did or they did not. I don't think it made any difference.
No.
Maybe it did. I don't know. Did they go through the armor? I mean, whatever you want to call it, bullet resistant
Kevlar usually, and in a rifle cartridge or a rifle bullet zings right through there like butter. Okay.
Okay.
That's the bottom line.
Normally it might stop something with a guy with a pistol.
Yes, but as long as the caliber is
powerful, they have value without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And they've saved a lot of lives. They're about the most uncomfortable thing in the world to wear. It's like taking a 10-hour sauna with one of those things on. But
sure.
They have their value. Don't get me wrong.
Anyway, I just want to ask that question. Maybe somebody might know.
All right. I appreciate it.
Take care, Ken. Thank you. I'm gone.
Okay. We're going back, and I want to talk a little bit about the latest bit of corruption from the LVMPD. I read something about former Detective Scott Friedman, okay? Former Detective Scott Friedman. Now, he got involved in a situation where a complainant came in, and the complainant, armed with attorneys and a bunch of other legal documentation, filed suit against the police department, against Detective Freeman and the sheriff and everyone else, okay, for this complaint. They were all named. Well, as usual, the LVMPD will always come out smelling like roses. And they use officers as basically expendable chess pieces, all right? They're just like pawns. They sacrifice them in order to come out. Well, this is exactly what happened. It started in 2011, and just recently, former Detective Scott Freeman, who retired, was totally exonerated. Now, this is after the LVMPD flipped their allegiance in defending this detective, and then all of a sudden switch sides and align themselves with the FBI, who in turn filed federal charges against the former detective Scott Friedman. Now, interestingly, the LVMPD, who is notorious for omitting evidence in any type of case, and I have some that they even did, especially the one when I arrested O.J. Simpson. They eliminated spontaneous confession, a tape recording, an arrest report, an officer's report, and a Miranda rights card. They was eliminated from the entire case. And fact is, I'm the guy that arrested O.J. Simpson, and I was never even called to the trial. Now, if that isn't just a big omission. So you got inculpatory evidence, you got exculpatory evidence that should have been presented in the court, and it wasn't. Well, so this is that's their MO. That's the LVMPD's MO, is that, one, they're totally political and they're totally corrupt, and omitting evidence or even tampering and manufacturing evidence is not beyond the realm of possibility. Well, the point I'm trying to get is former detective Scott Freeman was completely exonerated, and now they're refusing to give him his retirement credentials. We're going to pause for the cause. I'll be back.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Oh my God, if you can listen to the lead-in music,
you call love, but
Nancy Sinatra, that's what they played right outside the
you've been a
the Waco refuge,
and now someone else is getting
to drive everybody crazy. So, anyway, this is Gordon Martinez. Show's called American Honor. It's brought to you by RBN. And we were talking about former detective Scott Freedman of the LVMPD. and how the LVMPD, the FBI, and even the district attorney's office engaged in framing Detective Friedman and manufacturing evidence and withholding evidence that would have easily proved their innocence and which they knew about. Well, it finally all came out, and I was really very surprised that the federal court actually dismissed and exonerated former Detective Friedman. But the final cut, and this is something that's going to be explored rather in depth, is that the LVMPD refused to give former Detective Scott Friedman his police retirement credentials. Now, some of you may think, well, so what? It's a small thing. Well, it's the principle of the matter. You spend almost your entire lifetime at a business. It's just not right to just cut you loose and not give you what you have earned. And so I generated a interoffice memo to the LVMPD, Internal Affairs Bureau, Office of the Sheriff, and the Health and Safety Section, the Record Section. And I faxed it to about five different fax machines within the police department. And the letter basically stated that former Detective Scott Friedman, who had been totally exonerated and the charges against him dismissed, should be eligible for his police retirement credentials under the Law Enforcement Safety Act, which was passed in 2004 by President Bush and ratified by Congress, which basically says every honorably retired police officer is eligible to receive his police retirement credentials, which allows him to carry a concealed weapon in just about every jurisdiction in the United States. The only two exceptions, and it lays it out, is if the officer, the retired officer or the current officer, is been deemed mentally ill, and or has committed a crime. Well, just from the outside, I think that maybe a review of a former Detective Scott Friedman's case and his entitlement to his police retirement credentials, along with about 75 other qualified police officers that retired or quit the LVMPD, that should happen. So, well, it looks like we're to the end of our show. Hope you enjoyed it. Join me next Saturday at 4 o'clock. This is Gordon Martinez signing off. Peace.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you can dine or return at 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and lay-by. When I grab people, when I dirty, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the way...
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for paper fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.